the fact of the matter is that he's active and looking to win this election and will be going out and seeking to earn the votes of everybody across the country. No, that was Joe Biden in a nutshell. I wish, and I said that if this Joe Biden had the appearance at the debate, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Vince, if I told you, hey, there's a fireworks show tonight.
Meh.
You'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah,
right. Isn't there? Probably.
In honor of something.
Wednesday in southeast Wisconsin, somebody's lighting off fireworks.
Right. Yeah, okay. But if I told you there was a drone show, that changes everything.
Milwaukee-based artist Ray Chi designed the show. He tells What's on Tap this was his first project working with drones as an artistic medium.
Each carry a single light that can change any color and also dim and get brighter so that you can choreograph those pixels.
400 drones will fly across an area the size of a football field, and they'll do a thing or two that firework displays cannot.
There's motion with fireworks, obviously, but this is very controlled and designed motion, and there's moments that actually become three-dimensional or things are rotating in space.
Jessica Gatso, WTMJ News.
No, I could do everything fireworks
yes.
can. It can do everything.
Well, except explode.
Well, but yeah, I suppose. Okay, fine. There's the one thing.
There,
you can't make the super loud noise, but they are going to have the speakers playing. So this is taking place along the lakefront. It's in honor of the Villa Terrace, which is celebrating 100 years, the art museum right there along the lakefront. So where exactly should you go? Well, Megan Holbrook explains that she's with Friends of the Villa Terrace. She says, from the marina up towards Bradford Beach, that's the spot.
The wonderful thing is, you can be anywhere between the marina and Bradford Beach, and you will have a wonderful experience. In fact, at Bradford Beach, there's an event called Art Blaze that's going on that starts in the afternoon, and they'll have speakers with the simulcast of the music.
Oh, cool.
That goes with the drone show. So that's a really good place to go hang out and see it.
Yeah, Megan was on with Sandy Max on What's on Tap. So yeah, it starts at 9 o'clock tonight. It runs for 20 minutes. So a 20-minute drone show. We're talking all kinds of three-dimensional shapes. Who knows what all kinds of cool stuff they'll be doing. If you get a chance, highly recommend seeing these shows. We spotted the one last year. We were at the Badger game when they had one at halftime, and it was maybe
10 minutes?
Yeah, and it was super
awesome.
Couldn't
get enough.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
What do you
tonight.
Think? Is it packed down there? Is it like July 3rd fireworks type crowd?
I certainly hope so. I don't know. Is this getting a lot of attention? I mean...
It is on this program.
Yeah, I was going to say, we
we can't stop talking about it. Better be good. Report back to us. 7:15, sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Well, that doesn't happen often. But when it does, when it does happen at American Family Field, you gotta lean into it when this happens.
The pitch. Hit to left center and deep and big trouble and gone. That is a grand slam home run. Tellez hits one out towards right. This is high and deep, and it is gone. And Rowdy Tellez has hit his 100th career home run. And the pitch, fly ball, right field. Mitchell drifting back onto the warning track. It is gone.
Yeah, now listen to this one.
High fly ball, deep right field. Mitchell not even moving. That one's headed to the second deck.
Not even moving.
Well, I don't even have to watch. That's gone.
That one's gone. So all in all, they give up 5 home runs, 12 to the final. I don't know if we have enough boat horns we can play in honor of all the home runs. There's a couple of them anyway. Listen to how Uecker called the end of the game. Listen to this.
Swing and a miss. And Mitchell is gone, and this one is over. 12-2.
All right. Yeah, so it's over. It happens, but actually, not that often for the Brewers, and Pat Murphy pointed that out.
We haven't had one of those games in a while, and especially at home. We've been in every single game.
Brewers MVP of the game, Jake Bowers, who threw a scoreless ninth inning for the Crew.
Position player coming in, pitching, always good.
So they're back at it tonight.
Boat race.
But I expect the tides will turn. Brewers and Pirates right here on WTMJ.
You know, we've been on the other side of these as well. With the Brewers.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, Pittsburgh fans are going to be really frustrated when tonight they score zero runs.
Right.
Like, they get shut out. You're like, really? 12 last night?
Whatever. Barrel roll.
That's what we're hoping for. Quickly, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he will be one of the first athletes we see in the parade of athletes at the upcoming Olympic opening ceremonies. The Hellenic Olympic Committee did name the Bucks star a flag bearer. The Greek team, traditionally the first to enter at the Olympic Games. He was asked about it after the Greek basketball team qualified for the Games, what that would mean to him to be flag bearer for his country.
That's an honor. You know, in the Olympic Games, the best athletes in the world, people that they're 40 years old, 39 years old, they're still coming back to play in the Olympics, so you understand what this means, and being able to be in my first one.
A race walker for Greece, Antigone Drisbiadi, will also carry the Greek flag at the opening ceremonies. Olympic Games start in Paris, July 26th.
High fly ball deep right field. Mitchell not even moving. That one's headed to the second deck.
The NATO summit continues in Washington today, following President Biden's pledge to provide additional weapons for Ukraine in its war against Russia. President simultaneously looking to talk about anything other than his fitness to win re-election and govern another 4 years, while also actively working to reassure fellow Democrats that he's up to the task.
Biden in an all-out blitz to rally support, talking with Democratic mayors, writing a letter to congressional Democrats, calling into MSNBC, speaking with donors, and meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus, all in the last 2 days.
ABC's Perry Russum reporting there, who mentioned the call with Democratic mayors from across the country. Among those on that call, Mayor of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson, who is live with us this morning. Mr. Mayor, thank you. I know busy days ahead, so appreciate your time this morning.
Absolutely. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Can you describe first what the interaction was like? The reports that I've read suggested it was a video call with all of you mayors from across the country?
Yes, video call with mayors from coast to coast, up and down.
Could you see who else was on the call, or was it just like the president's window?
I could see the president's window. You could see as well the speakers at the time, that the chair of the Democratic Mayors Association, the mayor of Phoenix, Arizona, helped to MC, and then you had other mayors that were asking questions. But I'm familiar with the organization. I know Mayor Stutter in it.
Was he muted when he started speaking? I'm just kidding. That happens to everybody. The whole muted.
Hey, right. Turn your mic on.
Was anything discussed, Mr. Mayor? Obviously, this has been in the news the last few days. They've been struggling with trying to move forward. Has his future, as far as his support and as far as him running, was that discussed at all?
Yeah, you know, so the president came on and discussed with us mayors about his intention to stay in the race and win the race. And, I mean, the reason why we were there is because we believe in the president, and we know that he will win the race, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country in November. He did own up to the debate performance. He said, look, I had a terrible, terrible night. Look, I'm not hiding that fact. But the fact of the matter is that he's active and looking to win this election and will be going out and seeking to earn the votes of everybody across the country. No, that was Joe Biden in a nutshell. I wish, and I said that if this Joe Biden had the appearance at the debate, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Talking with Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, who was on the call with the president last night among some 200 mayors who had that opportunity. Let me put it to you this way, Mr. Mayor, because we've talked a lot about, you know, whether or not politically can President Biden win this election. But what about the next 4 years and his ability to govern? Is this the man that you want to have to call in the White House if Milwaukee has an emergency, if we have a national disaster, if we need the federal government? Is this the man you want to deal with a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now? Are you confident in him?
Well, look, I'll say this, that the answer to the question is yes, first and foremost. The follow-up to that is that there is a binary choice for president. It's going to be either Joe Biden or it's going to be Donald Trump. Thirdly, you don't vote just for one person. You vote for an administration. You vote for a direction for the country. And you think about the accomplishments in President Biden's administration, whether it's the bipartisan infrastructure law, the bipartisan CHIPS and Science Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, the American Rescue Plan Act, which, you know, helped to benefit us in Milwaukee and cities all across the country. the only major piece of policy achievement from Donald Trump's administration was cutting taxes for the very wealthy, which he seems to want to double down on if he were to be reelected. So if I had to choose for the direction of the country, looking at Project 2025, you know, his Donald Trump's desire to be a dictator from day number one, the fact that the Project 2025 lays the foundation for him to do that, and that the Supreme Court opened up the door for him to be able to do that, of course I'm going to choose Joe Biden. I'm raising kids, black kids, in this country. I think that's dangerous. I think it's dangerous to people of color, minorities, to the LGBT community, to folks who have a different religious opinion than those on the far right. Yes, absolutely. Joe Biden, 100% every single day.
What do you anticipate moving forward with this story as far as what happened with the debate? Do you expect this to dissipate, especially after next week, or is this still going to kind of linger and kind of hang over his head?
Well, I hope that it goes away. I mean, the question has been asked and it's been answered, right? You know, folks have said, you know, the president ought to move aside, or, you know, whatever the case may be. He says, no, I'm staying in the race. We're not going to thwart the democratic process. Millions of people voted for him in the primaries. Folks who feel this way could have challenged him during the primaries. They chose not to. He won every single primary election. He's going to be our nominee. He's going to Chicago next month. He's going to win that nomination. He's going to go on to win in November.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson on with us live on Wisconsin's Morning News. Appreciate it, Mr. Mayor.
All right, thank you.
It is 7:27. Also point out, New York Times reporting this morning, Mayor of Madison, Satya Rhodes Conway, as well as Racine Mayor Corey Mason, also on that call with the president. Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering, our guest on Brewers 360 at 7:45.
The day after this happened, the situation in Santa Fe, New Mexico, the deadly shooting on the Rust set involving actor Alec Baldwin, I said to Gene Miller in the newsroom, he's going to end up in court. He's going to end up in a criminal trial. It just seemed like it had the makings of that. Whether or not he's guilty, I didn't know. But at the moment, it seemed like it was going to head this direction. And today, it begins for Alec Baldwin.
Opening statements in the involuntary manslaughter trial of Alec Baldwin, charged in the 2021 fatal shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the film Rust. Baldwin arriving at the Santa Fe, New Mexico courthouse this week with his wife, Hilaria, and young child.
Mr. Baldwin, do you have a comment ahead of trial?
A jury of 12 of Baldwin's peers and four alternates, 11 women and 5 men, now seated.
ABC's Mola Lenghi there. A little bit more on the jury.
11 women and 5 men, now seated. One juror, an employee for the state of New Mexico, who has experience investigating mistakes on the job. At least 2 are gun owners. Another previously served on a grand jury. And only 2 jurors said they'd never heard about the case in any form.
So the opening statements are today. One of the big questions will be whether or not Baldwin will testify. Will he do it? Here's Eric Rucic. He is a managing partner and senior litigation consultant.
Jurors are told that whether or not he testifies should not impact how they decide the case. So certainly they will like to hear from Alec Baldwin in this case.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to happen. We'll find out here in the coming days. Prosecution always up first.
Yeah, and they don't have to know at this point.
No,
I mean, you got to see how the case is going. Figure if you need him to do that, then you use him. If you don't, and you feel confident with where you are in your case and your defense, then maybe you don't put it up there.
Right.
7:39 on Wisconsin's Morning News. This report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. How does a stock that's trading at $3-4 a share all of a sudden skyrocket in a day to $18 a share?
The famous guy who does this, his nickname is the Roaring Kitty.
Who is the Roaring Kitty, and what does he have to do with a local company, a headphones maker that you for sure have at least heard of if you don't have a pair of their headphones in your home, Koss? Mm-hmm. And you've heard of them because you drive by right there off of Silver Spring Drive, and there's the huge billboard right by their company facility here.
I'm wearing some Koss phones right now.
Right. So this company is at the center of another one of these speculative stock explosions. This has happened before with Koss stock and several others. And we're going to explore with Dave Spano of Annex Wealth Management why that is and why he thinks it's not really good for the market, even though you can make some money.
I was going to say,
on the right side of it, there's money to be made. And you actually, something caught your eye. This isn't speculative, but shares of another company rising based on a non-alcoholic beer.
Well, the revenue base for the Athletic Brewing is skyrocketing right now. Lots of people interested in Athletic Brewing. It's a non-alcoholic beer. Why would that be?
So we'll talk about all of that after the news at 8 o'clock. Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering, our guest on Brewers 360, up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Vince, there is one sound and two words that can sum up Tuesday night at AmFam Field. Here they are.
Boat race.
That'll do it. Final score, 12-2, Pirates. Brewers 360, just ahead. Brewers 360, sponsored by Holiday Automotive. And this morning, Brewers play-by-play man, Jeff Levering. I think the Pirates just hit another one, Jeff.
Number six.
At some point, Look, it's our team, and I never want to see the Brewers lose a single game, much less get boat raced. But at some point, as a broadcaster, is it a little bit fun when you're just getting blown out?
Well, you know, there are so many games that the Brewers play that they're in, and they go down to the wire, and they're tense, and you just never know which way they're going to go. Sometimes you need a ball game like that, one way or the other. You like to be on the other side of it, but there haven't been many of those that the Brewers have been a part of on the losing end.
Yeah, Pat Murphy brought that up, and we've noticed that throughout this season. Like, they really haven't had that many. Almost every game is fairly close, which is cool.
Yeah, that was the fifth time the Brewers have even given up 10 runs as a pitching staff or a defense. It was just one of those nights, and the Brewers have been the ones that have been hitting those grand slams recently. And yesterday it was Joey Bart. It was one bad inning that went sideways. Other than that, the Brewers were in the ballgame, had chances. The great thing is you get another ball game tonight, and hopefully they can go get Martin Perez.
I always enjoy watching a position player getting a shot to throw a few from the mound, and Jake Bowers comes in. Actually, to Eric's point about Pat Murphy, you know, the other thing he reflected on last night level was the fact that he does have a few guys who are good players who are getting a little frustrated they're not seeing playing time. And Bauer, you don't want to be called on as a position player to do that if that's all you're getting for the week.
Yeah, no, not at all. And for Jake, I mean, unfortunately, he's in a situation where Rhys Hoskins is playing a lot of first base. They've been in a run where they're seeing some left-handed pitching, so Bowers hasn't been in there. But he's had some really big hits. He's been one of the best first basemen defensively that the Brewers have seen in a long time, too. But you don't want to be that guy who comes in and pinch hits late, and then you get there on the mound. But everybody knows their role on this team, and whatever that role is, the Brewers are four games up on the Cardinals now in the Central Division. Everybody's playing their part.
Levering, something happened on Tuesday that reminded us of just how spoiled we are here. The Pirates phenom pitcher, Paul Skeens, whatever his name is, he's really, really good. He's going to be a great player. Needed to see Bob Uecker and got to meet him before the game. There's pictures of it on social media. It's just kind of cool. There's one picture where he's holding a ball and a pen, clearly going to ask Mr. Baseball for an autograph. It's just a good reminder that these guys still look up to that guy.
Yeah, they really do. And I can imagine how sweaty he was when he went to go meet him, too, just in the nerves to go meet Uke. And I guess that was one of his goals, right? Hey, I want to get to the big leagues, but man, when we play the Brewers, I want to meet Bob Uecker. And when the Pirates came here the last time, he had just been called up. He had just made his big league debut, and he really regretted the fact that he didn't go meet Bob. So he went to the PR department and said, "Hey, listen, let's set this up." And they ended up doing it. Nice to have a guy like Rowdy Tellez to kind of shepherd that conversation. And Christian Yelich was a part of it too.
Yeah.
You could tell that Paul was just really enjoying being a fly on the wall and having that chat with Bob.
All right, Skeensy. Great to meet you there. Skeensy.
Exactly.
And he's on the hill too, right? All right, Skeensy. And he pitches Thursday?
Yeah, he does. He's got the ball on Thursday. So big one to get tonight.
Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering. Enjoy the All-Star break too, Level. Any big plans?
We got a Dells Day coming up. I think we're going to do that on Monday. My son's got a baseball game on Tuesday. Hit his first home run last night.
Yes. Nice.
That was cool.
Did you see video? Did somebody record it for you?
Yeah, my wife got a video of it, which was great.
Did you do the call
then? I was in the middle of the six-run, sixth inning, so I was watching that, watching him circle the bases, and watching the Pirates do the same thing.
Levering to left, center, and deep.
A lot of people on social media wondering why Levering was so happy during the broadcast
right.
of that
his problem. Hey, good for you, man.
That was great. Cool moment. All right, take care.
We'll talk after the break. 7:50 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Paul Skeens. Good chat with you.
Idea Man.
Are you someone that lights off fireworks? Are you lighting wicks? Are you doing anything, or is that you're steering clear?
Innovator.
You know who enjoys the 4th of July from a business standpoint more than anybody?
And Packers Hall of Famer.
Hand surgeons.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch at Wisconsin's Morning News, sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Hey, Tausch, you ever spend any time at the Mirage when you're in Vegas?
Oh, in Las Vegas. Yeah. I thought you just meant like a mirage of any sort in your mind. Yes, I did. I always... I did stay at the Mirage. I think this was probably early 2000s, yeah.
Well, the casino is closing mid-July, so in a couple of weeks it's going to shut down. But one of the rules and laws in Nevada says when a casino shuts down, it needs to make sure that it's paying out all of the much of the house money that maybe it had received through different slot machines or whatnot.
Oh.
So the casino will be giving away more than $1.5 million over the next 7 days before it shuts down for good. So the slots will be rocking.
Loose.
Yeah, and probably pretty much they have to. They're going to be giving away a larger amount. The purse will be larger, if you will, this week as they try to give away all that money.
So I guess a couple of questions. You obviously, everybody is going to be running into the Mirage thinking the same thing.
For the first time in years.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably why it's going out of business. But I don't fully understand. So once they close their doors, they don't have to continue to give money away till the building's demolished. It's just while they're open. Is that a fair assessment?
That's my understanding. Progressive jackpots are owed to players and gamblers, and any remaining balances must be paid out before a casino shutters under state law.
So... if Vinny had went out there and won and had a big night and had a bunch of his chips still in his pocket back home, does he have to get out there before this closing to get his chips cashed? Or are they just going to be collector's items that does not have any monetary value?
First, I want to know what sort of state Vinny was in for taking all those chips home.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Yes. Well, there was a long line, yeah. And you had a dinner reservation. Lord knows what could happen.
That's a great question.
No, I think you're done. It's like a gift card that for a restaurant that's closed or whatever. Well, I got $100 at Schindelinden's House for Steaks, and Schindelinden shut down. Too bad, pal.
Yeah.
I would think with the conglomeration, I don't know if Mirage is like an MGM. I think it's an MGM.
If you could use it at a different casino.
Yeah. And then the other thing, how is that? I know there's gaming commissions and everything else. How are they monitoring? Like, we have to do this. Is every slot just going to be dumping cash? How are they monitoring that in order to get it? And then what's the game? You'd have to go slots, right? If you go there because... that's the only one that is really regulated. Blackjack, game of chance. Roulette, game of chance. So you're going to go sprint to a slot machine, and that's where you're going to end up getting paid out if you're buying into this whole system of them handing out $1.5 million or $2 million per day.
My ignorance is going to show here, but it says here that the casino must hand out the big cash prizes in unclaimed progressive jackpots from both slot machines and games. But I'm assuming games mean not, I assume.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't, because to Tausch's point, you can't juice the blackjack game.
Right.
Yeah, but Vinny, so here's the deal. There's a lot of those blackjack games that have progressive, it's a total waste of money. You put like the $5 chip or the dollar chip up in front, and if you get four of a kind or a red queen and a blackjack, you get that. So I don't know if they'll just have to say, the first two cards that are paired up win that, because that's another progressive jackpot that I hadn't thought of. So I think you guys should be pushing after the big convention next week, get out to Vegas, do a road show, morning road show out in Las Vegas.
Well, it has a good chance of beating the eclipse for a road trip.
It can't be any worse than that eclipse trip.
I could lose my wallet and still
Vinny,
be better.
No, here's what you do. No, you get all the way, but you stop in Reno, because then you're 97% of the way.
All right. Enough.
We never make it to the Mirage, and we just get taken. Thanks, Tom.
Go to the business report.
See ya.